After weeks of negotiations with the Senate crossbench, late last night the federal government finally struck a deal that will see ownership restrictions lifted from the media industry. The coalition got the numbers for its new broadcasting reform bill after it agreed to meet demands from holdout crossbencher Nick Xenophon. They agreed to a $60.4 million fund to support regional journalism and a commitment to hold an inquiry into how Google and Facebook are impacting the media industry.
A regional and small publishers jobs and innovation package worth $60.4 million over 3 years. The government has accepted that public support is necessary to help small publishers and small regional newspapers, as well as to create opportunities for more cadetships and for regional students to study journalism.
Senator Nick Xenophon speaking there. Earlier, the Turnbull government won Pauline Hanson's backing after agreeing to her demand that an inquiry be held into the ABC and that the words fair and balanced be written into the public broadcaster's charter. Labor and the Greens, however, say they'll not support the bill when it comes down to a vote in the Senate, probably later today, we expect. They say the media reforms will lessen rather than improve media diversity. Greens leader Richard Di Natale joins me now. Welcome back to Breakfast.
G'day, Patricia. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Nick Xenophon has managed to extract around $60 million for regional and rural journalism. He also got a commitment from the coalition for an ACCC-style inquiry into Facebook and Google. Isn't that worth backing?
No, because what we're going to get is we're going to get a further concentration in the media market here in Australia, and that's a bad thing. We want more voices in the media, not fewer voices. And we haven't got enough to try and get more journalists employed. We're seeing the media landscape crumbling around us, and we need to have incentives to get more journalists on the ground. And finally, we're very concerned about the public broadcaster, the ABC. We're worried about what this means for the ABC. Does this mean paywalls for iView? They're all things that we're very, very concerned about. Now, we're prepared. To look at what modern 21st century media laws look like, which is why we were open to having a discussion with the government. But it had to deliver more diversity, more jobs for independent journalism, and it had to protect and boost the ABC, not slash it. And that's why we won't support this package.
Where's the evidence that this bill slashes the ABC?
Oh, well, there's a huge concern here that as a result of the deal that's been done with One Nation, and this is all part of the one deal, that there's
but
a deal with
separate.
One Nation.
They still need to pass that separately.
Well, it's all part of the same legislation, Patricia, in that the deal has two components. One is inserting fair and balanced into the ABC, for example. I mean, do we want the ABC to become Fox News? That's their slogan. This is really to indulge One Nation. And of course, the only way this was going to get over the line with One Nation and Senator Xenophon's support is if we had that attack on the ABC. The real concern here is, of course, that One Nation wants to take the axe to the ABC. They don't support having a strong and independent public broadcaster. And we've got great concerns about that.
As we've said, under the deal the government struck with Nick Xenophon and his party, there will be a $60 million fund for small publishers and regional journalism. That's 200 cadetships and grants for small publishers. Senator Xenophon also wants support to grant a further six-month extension for community television licensees. Isn't that to guarantee a diverse media landscape? That's what you keep talking about. Isn't that an essential part of this deal?
Well, so we would support cadetships if they were part of a broader package that meant that people got a cadetship. We saw more journalists in training, but we also have to have a pathway. We've got to have jobs for them. No point training journalists if there are no jobs in journalism. And I can tell you, after having been here only for 6 years, I've seen journalists lose their jobs in the hundreds. We had that Fairfax strike recently where we saw Fairfax journalists stood down. I mean, this is happening right across the media landscape. It's bad for democracy. We're not seeing governments being held to account. We've lost a lot of expertise in specific areas, in health, my area. I've seen experts in health journalism lose their jobs and move on to other areas. We're seeing it in the environment, in the energy sector and so on. That's a bad thing. Having more journalists trained is a good thing if it's part of a broader package where there are jobs for journalists, and this package doesn't deliver it. What it does deliver is more power to a fewer number of people to concentrate the number of voices in the media. The two out of three rule's gone, and what that means is we're going to see more mergers, more acquisitions, smaller players being swallowed up by the big players, and we're going to see fewer voices in our media, and that's a bad thing in any democracy.
You've raised concerns around the ABC already in this interview, but as part of the negotiations, the government will also hold a competitive neutrality inquiry into the ABC, as requested, as you say, by Pauline Hanson's One Nation Party. Communications Minister Mitch Fifield rejects claims from the Greens and others that this is an attack on the ABC. Can't the ABC handle another inquiry?
Well, it can, but let's, again, be absolutely clear. We'd heard from the speeches from Pauline Hanson, from other One Nation senators, that they don't support a strong and independent public broadcaster. And they were very, very clear that they wanted the ABC to lose funding. In fact, Pauline Hanson couldn't wait as a result of this deal to go out onto Andrew Bolt's program to talk about the slashing of funding. She's expecting hundreds of millions of dollars to go from the ABC's budget. We do have concerns, and many people have expressed to us that they want us to be boosting the ABC, more local content from our national broadcaster. And again, we were prepared to have discussions with the government if they were prepared to look at putting more money into local content to hear Australian stories through the ABC and SBS, to make sure that the private broadcasters who got this massive gift, they basically were told, look, you can have a reduction in your licence fees. We'll give you that as a gift. We'll give Foxtel $30 million. No paperwork there, just $30 million to Foxtel because of some changes to gambling laws. And yet on the other side of that, we're seeing an attack on the ABC. Clear what this is about, Patricia.
Will be put in separate legislation. And Nick Xenophon says he'll oppose that. What's its likely future given that?
Well, we don't know. We simply don't know whether those changes to the ABC will get the support of the crossbench. What we do know is, as a result of this deal that's been done by Senator Xenophon, supporting the government's attack on the ABC, supporting this massive handout to private broadcasters, concentrating the number of voices in our media, as a result of that, we're going to see legislation before the parliament that takes a hatchet to the ABC. It wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for this deal from Senator Xenophon. So he has to wear it, just as the Liberal Party needs to wear it and all the crossbenchers who have supported it.
If you're just tuning in, this is RM Breakfast. I'm Patricia Carvelis, and my guest is the Greens leader, Richard Di Natale. Moving to another topic, and the Greens had a win in Parliament yesterday. You've secured the numbers to strike off Immigration Minister Peter Dutton's controversial citizenship bill from the Senate notice paper. It means the government has 4 days to debate the bill or it will be struck off. What will happen now?
Well, if the government doesn't introduce the legislation, and at this stage we're pleased it doesn't look like they have the support in the Senate to do that, then the legislation disappears from the notice paper and they can't reintroduce that bill unless the Senate agrees to do that. So that's a hugely positive win. There are so many people across the community who are really concerned about these citizenship changes. I can tell you that, my grandmother, who didn't speak much English, she wouldn't have been able to become a citizen of this country, as members of my family wouldn't have been able to do. I speak to people all the time. I had a multicultural inquiry where I heard from people telling me stories about how valuable citizenship was to them, how it gave them a sense of belonging, a sense of security. I speak to people who just say to me they're not sure about whether they're going to be able to afford an education for their kids. These citizenship laws are so wide-ranging. They are not who we are as a country. We're a welcoming country. We're a country of immigrants. We should be welcoming the contribution of people from right around the world, as we've done for decades. And this win from the Greens in the Senate, and Senator Nick McKim brought this to the Parliament, almost unprecedented that you would see the government effectively lose control of its own legislative agenda and have these laws struck out. So unless the government manages to secure the numbers over the next 4 sitting days, then the citizenship laws won't be able to be won't be heard in the Senate.
The energy debate has dominated this week in politics. The Prime Minister has indicated that he's preparing to overhaul the clean energy target proposed by the Chief Scientist Alan Finkel to ensure it includes clean coal and gas-fired power generation, as well as renewables like wind and solar. Given the energy regulator says the government is facing looming power shortages as soon as this summer, doesn't that make sense?
No, because a clean energy target that includes coal is a dirty energy target. If we're going to meet our Paris obligations, if we're going to save the Great Barrier Reef, if we're going to avoid further extreme weather, we've got these unprecedented record temperatures in Sydney with bushfires in September, for goodness sake. We've got record storms in the Atlantic. unprecedented wind speeds. Climate change is real, it's happening, and what we need to do is get coal out of the system, and everybody knows.
But can the country afford to focus solely on reducing our carbon emissions, which is your sole focus?
No, don't that's we not right, to, Patricia.
Well, but don't
no,
we
no,
need to fix our own power
focus.
Crisis first?
Well, the energy regulator, indeed the business community, academics, experts, all understand what the plan needs to be. The plan is more solar, more wind, more battery storage technology, demand management, and if we do all of those things, we can reduce pollution, we can reduce prices, we can improve the state of our environment, create jobs. It's good for people and good for the environment. What we've got in Malcolm Turnbull is somebody who has capitulated to Tony Abbott and the far right of his party. He's now become a wholly owned subsidiary of the coal lobby. This is a plan for the coal lobby. It's not a plan for the energy transition that this
country
needs.
But there is a genuine crisis in terms of stability in the power grid. You know, you look at the AEMO report, this is a very real issue.
Oh, it's a real issue, and it shows that the government, who has been, this is his fifth year in government, and it is overseeing this crisis. It's responsible for it, and AEMO make it very clear. They say if you introduce some measures, a range of measures, a suite of measures, more solar, more wind, battery technology and demand management, we can get through this and do it in a way that reduces pollution, that brings down prices and that ensures we've got stability in the grid, more jobs, good for the economy, good for people. They say that in their report. And yet, what's Malcolm Turnbull's plan? It's a plan written for him by the coal lobby that says you keep open a dirty, stinking old coal-fired power station for a few years. Remarkable. What a capitulation from a Prime Minister who promised he wouldn't lead a government that wasn't as committed to climate change as he was. And now here he is doing the bidding of Tony Abbott, doing the bidding of the coal lobby and saying, well, my plan for the energy transition that this country so desperately needs is a vision like 1960s Russia, keeping this polluting, dirty, inefficient coal-fired power station open for a few more years.
Richard Di Natale, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's the Greens leader, Richard Di Natale. This is RM Breakfast.